passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
He is here. Thanks so much for being a part of the program. We have a lot to deal with and some confirmation from Lexington about something you already knew about. Let's get started right now with some news of the day. And Nate Oates, late last night, said, I'm committed, fully committed to Alabama. Bama Nation, I am fully committed to this team and to this university. We have already accomplished some great things here, and there is nothing I want more than for the University of Alabama to win its first national championship in men's basketball. Despite any rumors to the contrary, rest assured that I will continue that pursuit as your head coach. Roll Tide. It will not be Nate Oates, but who would be, as John Calipari finally confirmed today what everyone has known for nearly 2 days. Cal, what about it?
The last few weeks, we've come to realize that this program probably needs to hear another voice, that the university as a whole has to have another voice giving guidance about this program that they hear. And the fans need to hear another voice. We've loved it here, but we think it's time for us to step away and step away completely from the program.
Okay, Cal. Not what you said 2 weeks ago, but anyway, it's what you said today after you got another job. Mitch Barnhart, not wasting a lot of Twitter space, thanking Cal. We're appreciative of John Calipari leading our program for the last 15 years, adding to the legacy of championship success in Kentucky. We're grateful to John for his many contributions to the university and our state, both on and off the court. Speaking of legacy, what about Kalen DeBoer? Headline here in The Athletic. He is undaunted. Actually, the word's actually undaunted by the responsibilities of replacing Nick Saban. Mandel, who wrote that piece, will join us 2.5 hours from now. And there's more eligibility rules from the NCAA. The NCAA could okay a new rule at the next meeting. And we are ranking coaches. Any idea who the number one coach in the country is? Don't let the picture of Kirby Smart persuade you to vote for him. But it was Kirby Smart. Kalen DeBoer is number two. How about that? Kyle Whittingham. I've never heard of the guy number four, Dabo Sweeney. Mike Norvell. Dan Lanning, Sark, Kiffin, Leipold, and Ryan Day. So Dabo Sweeney was number four in that list. I don't know if that had anything to do. This was written by David Hale. I don't know if that had anything to do with the fact that David Hale is currently hanging out at Dabo's house in Clemson, South Carolina. David, great to have you with us. Good afternoon. We know about Kirby Smart. Take us through the rest of your poll and how did this poll come about anyway, other than apparently Dabo Sweeney's kids must have voted early and often.
Yeah, first of all, I take no responsibility for how this turned out. This was a poll. I put in my 2 cents, but it was worth probably less than 2 cents in the grand total of things. I think there's a few things that you can take from this. Number one, there's only three active head coaches who have won a national championship, and then two of them you saw there, of course, Kirby Smart and Dabo Sweeney, and then Mack Brown, who is now close to 20 years removed from his national title. So, the way that you put that list together, it ain't based on playoff championships, because there ain't many guys who have them. And the other thing is there a little bit of recency bias? Look, Kalen DeBoer is a heck of a football coach who has won everywhere he has been at every level. At two, I find that to be a tad high, my personal opinion, just because, like, look, there's still a lot he ain't done yet. Doesn't mean he's not going to do it, but he hasn't done it yet. Kyle Whittingham's sort of the opposite end of that spectrum. He's done everything, but he's yet to play in a playoff game. He hasn't won at the absolute highest level. I'm a little shocked to see Dabo at number four on that list, just because, look, he's got 5 playoff appearances, 2 natties under his belt. I know it ain't been the best 3 years, but he's still been pretty good the last 3 years. I think it's a little bit of, I think, a question that is eternally asked about Dabo right now, which is he a great coach for the last generation, or can he be a great coach for what college football is evolving into? That is still a very open-ended question. I think the one only true answer that we have here is Kirby Smart. He's pretty good.
David, quick question about number 5, which is Mike Norvell. He's number 5, which is that because he's the 5th best coach, or is the number 5 the number of lawsuits that FSU has filed recently?
He is number 5 because he would have been in the top 4, but Jordan Travis got hurt, and so we had to knock him out of that top 4 to make room for Alabama, I believe is the way it is. Hey, I will say this. There's a list of guys who still have the big one out there to go chase after. I think Mike Norvell is worthy of that spot. And look, quite frankly, I think Kalen DeBoer is a home run hire for Alabama when they got him. They were very, very interested in Mike Norvell. There were a lot of phone calls and conversations with agents there, and I think it was probably a hair away from maybe Mike Norvell being the guy in Alabama right now. So you look at those two, and I think they're clearly – if Alabama says those are the two of the next tier after Nick Saban steps aside, I believe Alabama because they've been pretty good at picking them. But, yeah, I mean, look, Mike Norvell's a great coach. I think this will be a really interesting evaluation of how great a coach he is in 2024, because a lot of new roster and still a lot of hard feelings and all of this attention, as you quite rightfully noted, in what's going on away from the field that has nothing to do with the actual football team that'll be lining up to play games this fall.
And David, since that's also part of your beat covering litigation with the ACC, where are we right now? What's going on?
Yeah, my legal background as a defendant over the years is finally coming in to be valuable for me. So last week we had a ruling from a judge in North Carolina that says, well, this ACC versus FSU lawsuit should proceed here in the state of North Carolina. Currently in Tallahassee today, a separate lawsuit, Florida State's versus the ACC, is ongoing with legal arguments from FSU and the ACC. The judge there said he didn't even bother to read the judge from North Carolina's ruling and seems a lot more open to the idea of Florida State pursuing their own legal grounds in Florida, which would seem to be a friendlier venue for them. So right now we are in full fisticuffs and full deep dive nerd minutia about legalities and precedents and other cases. And this is just to decide what state we're going to hear, if not both of them. And the truly crazy thing out of all this, Paul, is I've talked to a handful of folks trying to just wrap my head around what is a grant of rights and what are we going to be arguing about here? Because to this point, we have not even had an argument over the substance of the various lawsuits. This is strictly what state are we hearing them in? And the thing that I've been told is, like, most of these documents are basically copyright law, and it's based off of federal copyright law. And so the odds are, at some point, all of this is going to end up in federal court anyway, so it might be a whole lot of sound and fury that signifies nothing in the end.
Sound and fury signify. That must be from a David Hale tome. Anyway, David, thank you. What are you doing in Clemson today, if we may be so nosy?
Trying out for quarterback, I believe, based on their spring performance. Now, they had their spring game on Saturday this past week. It was not a great offense. If you're nervous about Clemson's offense to see if they can get back into playoff shape, the spring game didn't do much. But I spent some time with Cade Klubnik, their quarterback, today. He's much more enthusiastic. And one big name that was mentioned a bunch is a guy SEC fans will be familiar with, which is Matt Luke. So he got hired as Clemson's new offensive line coach this year. And I think if you watched a lot of Clemson's offense last year under Garrett Riley, his first year OC, the O-line and the rest of the offense very rarely felt in sync. Cade Klubnik said Matt Luke's one of the best coaches he's ever played for, and he's only been around him for 3 months. A lot of high praise for the former Ole Miss head coach here.
David Hale, we will see you back here soon. Thank you, David. David Hale joining us from Clemson, South Carolina, in case you were wondering where Clemson was. What else are we doing here today? We're covering the Cal situation. John Clay live from Lexington. He's now officially gone. Who will take his place? And Stuart Mandel recently visited Tuscaloosa on the DeBoer beat. We'll get his reaction and your phone calls right around the corner.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. It is Tuesday, and we are ready to roll. Yesterday was a roller coaster day with all the news breaking as we came onto the air. How about Andre starting us off? Good afternoon, Andre.
Coach Paul Feinbaum, thanks for taking my call, Coach Feinbaum.
Listen, thank you.
I was listening yesterday. This young man that represents the Cane. No one from the ACC can be taken seriously. Hell, if Florida State can squeeze out of that Grant of Wright, the Canes will be begging the SEC to let them in the back door to reduce weight. The Canes haven't even been relevant for 30 years, Coach. And I'm an LSU fan, but I hear the guy call in all the time and attack Alabama. I mean, what is that all about, Coach Feinbaum?
Well, we can't hold it against J.K. that he has a lousy school that he supports. But you're right. He never seems to mention that anymore because there's nothing to mention.
Listen, do you think the SEC would have allowed Notre Dame to come into the conference halfway? That shows you how weak the ACC is that they allowed that. And then it was Notre Dame that leaned on the ACC to let them get the Berkeley Bears in there and Stanford. The SEC wouldn't have went for this kind of stuff.
No, of course not.
And then now I'm an LSU fan, Coach, but I listen to our man call in, and every day he goes out to Alabama. What is that all about, Coach?
No, I mean,
I like Iman.
Andre, Iman has become a sad Iman has essentially replaced Jim from Tuscaloosa as the most bitter caller on the show.
I like Iman. He's a very intelligent caller, but
don't get carried away.
He got Bama bad. But hey, Coach, thanks for taking my call. We all enjoy your show. And your show now is greater than it's ever been. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Thanks, Coach Feinbaum.
Thank you, Andre. We appreciate that. And just say that 1,000 times every time you call in, and we'll be happy. Chris is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Paul. Long time, first time.
Thank you.
I get to talk about the football and stuff, and it really goes in pretty good with what I want to talk about. And obviously, you know, this Kentucky situation with Cal and where we're at as fans in the state. I don't know, Paul. Man, I was married a long time and ended up getting divorced, and it was very amicable. Matter of fact, we get along better now than we did. But we raised kids, and we had a lot of good things happen, and things went well. And I kind of look at it the same way. You know, if anybody watched Cal's talk earlier, you know, it was pretty good. You know, he talked about a lot about the kids, and it really got me thinking. As you know, as a 50-year-old man, I can remember crying on every loss, you know, for Kentucky back in Eddie Sutton and Rex Chapman and Kenny Walker and going through the coaches and the championships. But it really just became a marriage that, you know, that just wasn't producing. You know,
listen, Chris, I think John Calipari should have got down on his knees today and thanked Mitch Barnhart for not firing him 3 weeks ago, which he probably should have done. By not firing Cal, he allowed him a modicum of dignity to get out of there. And not only did Cal get out, he landed at a really good place. I mean, Cal could have ended up at some third-rate school, but instead he lands at a top-quality basketball power with a lot of support. Thank you for the call. Jeff is up next in Tennessee. Hey, Jeff, go right ahead.
How's it going, Paul?
Very well.
I just want to say I heard Calipari's 4-minute thing on Facebook, and yeah, I enjoyed his 15 years. I wanted him to stay, but he didn't. Barnhart didn't fire him because he don't want that to be his legacy. That's why he didn't fire him. He didn't want to be stupid either and be run out of state if he did. Okay? So you can do what you want to, Paul. You can fire a Hall of Fame coach if you want to. But he wasn't dumb. He wasn't going to do it. Period.
Well, no. Jeff, he wasn't going to do it because he couldn't afford to do it.
Well, I don't care about afford whatever. He didn't want to have that title.
I'm not being a hater. I'm just telling the truth. Calipari's record in recent years. I mean, fans were mostly ready to get rid of him, and instead he got saved by a mistake that was made administratively, and the school made out like bandits, quite frankly. I mean, what if they had decided 3 weeks ago to fire Cal and spend $33 million? Instead, they looked great, and Cal was able to, you know, put out that hostage video a few minutes ago, and everybody is singing Kumbaya. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. AC is up next. Go right ahead.
Mr. Feinbaum, thank you so much for taking my call, sir. How you feeling?
Okay.
Quick question. So if I'm not mistaken, so I guess your boy Legend just won that your brackets contest, your caller's bracket. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Well, I mean, let me ask you a question. I mean, I feel like your caller's bracket is totally rigged. Because let me explain to you why. Because you put some people all the time and they never call in. I'll give you an example. Jerome will be your best example. So I feel like your tournament is totally rigged.
By the way, Jerome was not in the contest. Jerome was not in the bracket.
But to start off, Mr. I get it. I understand.
He was not in the bracket, so because he doesn't call. You have to call to be in.
But either way, how did Legend end up winning when Cat didn't?
I'll tell you how he ended up winning.
Back.
The same way anyone else ends up winning, by getting the most votes.
And it's totally rigged.
No, it's
correct?
Not. No, it's not rigged.
Yes, it is. You should be the final judge to determine what's
going to happen. No, I don't want to be. To me, it's a caller bracket for a reason, so callers can participate.
So this is why Legend got robbed last year, because you gave it to your fan base.
Well, no. Whether he got robbed or not, Cat Daddy got more votes. Cat Daddy this year crashed and burned because he proved that proved to be illegitimate.
Because you had Jim and Iman tag team against Legend, that's how he lost. Isn't that obvious? Mr. Feinbaum, come on now. It's totally rigged. All right? I get it. It's entertainment. This is why it doesn't motivate me to be in that caller's bracket contest. Is this a totally joke, man? I mean, come on. Be serious.
I say I've already had to say what I'm not going to keep repeating myself, even though you are repeating yourself.
You don't have to repeat yourself. No, you don't have to repeat yourself. I don't have to repeat it. I'm just letting you know how I feel. I mean, it's a
well, listen, we joke, appreciate right? your anger. We appreciate
no,
your bitterness. We appreciate your jealousy.
Jealous of what?
Jealous of not being considered a good caller.
What, do I care?
I don't know. Do you?
I don't care. I'm here to have fun, Mr. Feinbaum. You don't have to be the best caller to make best calls. I mean, the station is not paying
well,
anybody.
AC,
not
if
that
you were,
I know.
If you were ranking the callers on this show, where would you? Where would AC from wherever you're from rank?
Mr. Feinbaum, I addressed this already. I really don't care.
Well, that I don't. I don't care whether you really do care or not. I just simply asked you a question. You're showing. You're showing your insecurity by your answer.
But here's the thing, Mr. Feinbaum. If money is involved, if there is a price was involved, I would care. So it doesn't motivate me. I need something to motivate myself, right? You don't win a championship
so,
without
AC,
doing something.
So, AC, just for our edification, what motivates you in life?
You know what motivates me? As long as I get money, and as I'm a price fighter, Mr. Feinbaum. I need to fight for the price. I mean, a boxing. When you get into a boxing ring,
hey, AC,
do
you work? Do you have a job?
Absolutely. I mean, if I did not have a job, I would not live my life.
Okay. Well, I mean, your job is your job, but we were just curious whether you had a job or not.
Of course I do. This is why I barely call the show, because I'm busy doing other things, right?
You don't have to tell us where you work, but how would you describe your vocation?
Excellent. I'm blessed to be doing
what
I'm doing.
I didn't ask
That's
for a check mark. I just asked, how would you describe what you do? What can you give us a clue on what type of work you do?
I don't have to address everything. I'm a private man.
AC,
but I am blessed with what I do.
I mean, it's not a big deal. I ask somebody, like, what do you do? Well, I work at the power company. I'm a heating and air specialist. I'm a mechanic.
Let me answer a question.
I'm an accountant. I don't know that many people that, other than maybe those who work at the CIA who refuse to give a general idea.
All right. You want an answer? I'll give it to you. How about Child Protective Services? Does it help you?
Yes, that helps me immensely. I hope it helps
That's
the children.
Right. Of course.
I mean, I think that is a great profession, Child Protective Services. For the record, AC hung up as soon as I pressed him on that. Is AC someone that they're trying to protect the children from, or is he trying to protect the children from others? I don't know. I'm confused, though, and I'm also concerned for the children that he's trying to protect. We'll take a short break. We are back with much more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back here Tuesday afternoon, and Jim is calling next. Hey, Jim, good afternoon.
Is this Cricket Paul Feinbaum?
It is. Thanks for properly identifying
me. Thank you, because I want to tell you what's trending, whether you like it or not. It's trending all over the country. It's trending with many people that you don't even probably care who they are. But it's trending. And the trend is this. You protected your sacred cow, as we all know who that is, and gave him, practically, I guess, gave him I don't know exactly how you did it, but you gave him the caller contest because you were afraid and you knew, you absolutely knew that the kid from Pittsburgh, Dominic, was about to take over and was going to win the contest. So you made up some rules to kick Dominic off the show, out of the caller situation with your phony rules, and gave basically shut down Dominic. I don't know if he'll ever call again. I wouldn't blame him for not calling, but that's exactly what is trending. And there's an asterisk around the name Legion about what happened. That's a fact. There's others that will verify it. They'll be probably coming on the show later, but I'm telling you the truth. And you hate me, and the simple reason you attack me daily for about 10 years now is because I called you out and told you, because I'm a straight shooter, I told you how crooked and rotten the show is, and that's why you hate me. You have a vendetta against me, and I couldn't care less, but I'm telling it like it is, because I'm still a straight shooter, and I won't be on the show anymore, but at these times, I will call to clarify things that need clarifying.
Well, first of all, Jim, we didn't disqualify anyone. The guy had people offering money to vote for him, and we found the guy
that was going to win, little 12-year-old, no doubt in anybody's mind, little 12-year-old Dominic was going to win it all, and you couldn't stay because you had to protect your sacred
child. Are you endorsing election fraud, Jim?
I'm not even going to talk to you anymore. I said what I had to say.
Well, just for the record, in case anyone takes Jim literally, which you probably shouldn't, the reason why Dominic was disqualified in one of the earlier rounds is that his uncle was out on social media offering $100 to people that would vote for him, and we found incontrovertible evidence supporting an acceleration of votes. That's really pretty simple. Those kind of things are just not going to be tolerated. I appreciate Jim checking in with us, even though he said he wouldn't. And we check in with Bash next in Boulder.
Bash, Brother Paul, as always, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Bash.
Now, I wanted to talk about, you know, Jim brought up the subject I think I have a little interest in, and it's about the Dominic controversy that happened last week. Now, Paul, I want to ask you a question. Is there any difference in what Dominic did than what his older Pittsburgh brother, Pat McAfee, did the entire time he was on YouTube and rose his sports media empire to where it is currently right now on ESPN, the ESPN, not two, not you, not even plus, the ESPN? Do I agree with how he did it? No. That's why I love this show, and that show can go kick rocks. But I'm asking you, Paul, is there a difference in what Dominic did than what Pat McAfee did?
Well, I know what Dominic did. I have no earthly idea what Pat McAfee did because I never saw his YouTube show.
In layman's summary, he used NFL superstars, not on the level of Manovich, that Michigan wash up, but you get the idea. He used them to increase his popularity on his show, and it kept increasing on social media, and your executives and your network noticed, and they fired all of my favorite analysts that were working there last year so they can make room for the new kid on the block, Pat McAfee. Is that close to the truth, or am I speculating?
I mean, Bash, I'm not trying to act stupid here about the company I work for, but I have no earthly idea how Pat McAfee was hired.
Well, let me ask you another question.
I just know that
Paul,
he was, because a number of the top executives felt very strongly about him.
Of course they did. Also, one last question, Paul. While he was on YouTube and you were on the SC Network, was he one of your former agent's clients as well?
No, I do believe that is accurate, yes.
That's consider that the entire time I was calling the show. I wanted to ask you about it, but at this moment, it sounds like you're not informative of any of the other questions I want to ask about it. So
No,
I really appreciate
Bash, I want to make it clear. I will answer any question that I can, but when you ask me about bosses' decisions, they do not consult me on personnel decisions. That is a fact. I am simply an employee of the company, period.
And you're a great employee of the company, Paul. If you left, they would absolutely, all the ratings in the SEC network would tank. I mean, not all of them. We all love Roman Harper, Ryan McGee, Marty McGee, and, you know, Alyssa Lang's the great, and every the show. Like, you part of the network, Paul, is what makes the whole SEC tower with you on top unbreakable. And as long as you're on top of there, Paul, this network isn't going anywhere. And thank you again for taking my call. And to Jim, just get over it, Jim. Dominic is going to learn a lesson that you can't buy your votes, just like our politicians need to learn that lesson the same way. You have to go out there and work and spread your voice instead of being on spring break on Myrtle Beach and speculating like, I have no idea what's going on.
And by the way, Bash, I don't think Dominic would have won anyway. And we were not afraid
of
Dominic.
A better chance.
I mean, first of all, I don't want to come off too haughty here, but I will. Had anybody heard of Dominic until he started calling this show?
The answer is no.
I mean, we enabled a 12-year-old to become a YouTube sensation. And Pat McAfee retweeted a Dominic call on this show. And that really helped him gain some fame. I mean, we appreciate Dominic calling in. We think he's an entertaining caller. But unlike what the artist formerly known as Jim had to say a minute ago, we don't favor callers. We have a program here every day that relies on a large number of people, not one. I mean, Jim thinks the whole show revolves around him. I think he's found out, since he's quit the show a number of times, we have somehow been able to move on without him. Thanks to people like Squirrel. Good afternoon.
Thanks for taking my call. And you hear some whining in the background. I've got a dog in the truck with me. It's not Jim from Tuscaloosa. But your leg humper sounded upset a little while ago. He's questioning the integrity of the committee, the bracket committee.
Yes.
That's unheard of. And let's just be honest about Dominic. I mean, I've been vocal for a while about him reading his takes. Whether he writes them or his dad writes them, who cares? I mean, he's just a kid who reads takes. If you notice how when you make a comment or ask him a question during his call, it completely throws him off. But he goes back and picks up where he's left off after a few minutes. I mean, if you're comparing Dominic to legend as far as caller entertainment, I mean, Dominic would be like a pimple on legend's butt. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, is that too harsh?
I think it's pretty accurate.
Well, I mean, I know he's 13 years old, but this is the Paul Feinbaum show. It's not Romper Room. You know, it's not Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. You know, if the kid's going to call in or whatever, I mean, he's got to be prepared to take some criticism and some shots. Again, his calls are okay, but he manufactures them. You know, if he had to freelance, I mean, it would just throw him completely off kilter. So, and when the money came in, if Dominic had offered the $100, I might not have had an issue with it. But when an outside source offers $100, then I think that crosses the line if this show had a line. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
All right. Well, thank
you very much, Coral. We're up against a break. More to come. More guests around the corner. We're coming back right after this on a Tuesday afternoon.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back here on a Tuesday afternoon, and Tim is up next from Arkansas. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for talking to me, man.
Thank you.
Hey, I was wanting to talk about the Calipari move to Arkansas. I've been an Arkansas fan. I don't know. We've talked a couple times before, but I've been an Arkansas fan all my life. I can tell you where I was sitting when I watched the 69 shootout. That's how far back I go. And I got to tell you, University of Arkansas the past few years has made it very hard to be a fan. We had Musselman. We had the coach for the future of Arkansas. We had him. And we let him go, and we're going to bring in a retread like Calipari. Now, Paul, you remember, but I don't know if you remember back when you were a kid. Back when I was a kid, whenever our tires wore out,
sure,
we'd have to go down and buy retreads. And when we bought them, we knew they were going to fail. But we just didn't seem to have any other choice. That's what we bought was retreads. And that's what Arkansas team seems to want to stock up with. Now, Brother Bash yesterday made a comment about Arkansas should be holding parades because of Bobby Petrino and Calipari. Now, I've already told you what I thought about Calipari. Now, Petrino, I won't listen to a word that comes out of his mouth because the man's never going to lie to me again. And yet we brought him back in. So, you know, it's really been disappointing. Thank God for baseball.
It's an interesting situation, Jim. Tim, I agree with you. And I know tomorrow will be a big day in Fayetteville, and they'll act like they've just had a major accomplishment. And maybe they will. I mean, I can't help but remember 3 weeks ago when Kentucky fans were bemoaning the fact that Cal was going to be retained. Nobody was seemingly happy, and now he issues that video today, which was, you know, pretty
stilted. I saw the video, and that was extremely weak.
Yeah. Cal, I think, has always thought fans were stupid. And by saying that, he's acting like I've just decided you people need a new voice. That's not what he was saying right after the loss to Oakland, and that's not what he was saying in that video with Mitch Barnhart. He was talking about, well, we'll change a few things here, but Kentucky is still great. And I don't know. I mean, I think what he's going to try to do probably is take his entire lineup to Arkansas, which will be good for Arkansas and terrible for Kentucky. It'll be interesting to see how Kentucky fans feel about Cal in a couple weeks. If you doubt what I just said, I encourage you, Kentucky fans, to call any fan of the University of Memphis after John Calipari ripped that program bald when he blew out of there. He took all of his top players with him to Lexington. Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Trey.
Hey, Paul, a couple of things for you today. Was that not just a kind of average, boring basketball game last night to you?
I thought it was beyond boring.
Yeah, the women's game was so much more exciting. I don't know what happened last night, but it was not and you know, it comes on way too late. That's another thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, it is a 8:20 Tuscaloosa, 9:20 in the Eastern time zone. Absurd time to begin a basketball game.
You know what they should do is, as popular as the women's game has become, they need to make the Final Four, the men's and women's, at the same place. And and have a men's, then a women, then a men's, then a women. I think that would really help both. And do it on the weekend so people can watch it. I mean, there's a lot of kids that want to watch this.
What they did with the women, and they shattered the myth that you have to play a game in prime time. That game started at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I will guarantee the women's game will have more people watching than that men's game last night. Anyone who was watching that game was not around for the end of it. Stoney in Lexington is up next. Hey, Stoney.
Hey, what's going on, Pod? I know you remember me from a while back.
Call
it about every two or three times a year.
Well, great to have you.
Football and basketball. Yeah, but I'm just calling about the Cal situation, man. I really do hate it. You know, I hate it that he had to go. But, I mean, he's still a Hall of Famer coach, and there's just a lot that's going on in here in Lexington as far as the fan base and everything that's going on, all the talk, all the everything, man. It's just, it's sad. It really is.
Well, it is, but it was, to me, sad to see so much talent wasted.
And no, it's not wasted talent, man. He had created a fun atmosphere with these top recruits coming in. And, yeah, the pressure's on with the fan base. You know, like Justin Edwards, take for instance. You know, he looked at social media. He saw what people were saying about him. And some of that stuff was horrible. Anybody would crack during a big game. You know, I mean.
Well, but I'll say this, Tony. If you're going to be a big-time player, you have to take social media with a grain of salt. Thanks for the call. Head to the next hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.